I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, welcome back. All right, so there was a little bit of a pause between these two podcast episodes because we are still in our series on grief. And part of it was there were some things in life that had to become a priority over the last 2 weeks. I had some tech issues. I had recorded this second episode and then the audio was terrible. And I don't know if my mic just wasn't connected or what happened, but I recorded it. Ended up being like over an hour long. And so maybe that's a good thing too. So I can make this a little more, maybe a little shorter, a little more concise. But the audio just wasn't good. So it's taken me a minute to re-record. And in that time, I've also been thinking about, is this the best layout? So that's been my other kind of area of procrastination is there's two, maybe three other pieces. And I'm like, I don't know which one should come next in this process. And today, though, we are going to talk about the grief of losing somebody that you care about, like the loss of life. So not just divorce or a breakup. I'll address that one next. And while the process is still the same when it comes to grief, the process and allowing the emotions is still the same. But there's some different nuances. It's a little bit different if it's somebody that you are breaking up with, but they're still alive, because there can always be hope for the future, hope of a friendship. It's a little different. Then when it comes to divorce, it's also a little different, especially if there are kids involved and you are co-parenting, you're still interacting and engaging with them on a probably fairly regular basis, even if it's drop-off pickup. And it's different than if it's the grief of the loss of somebody completely from your life. And this could be if the person died. It could also potentially be if you have a parent or maybe a sibling or a friend or somebody, or maybe even an adult child, somebody who cuts you off completely. And so it's as if they have died, where like they could be alive, but there's zero contact, there's zero communication, and there's really the loss of the dynamic of the relationship, but there's really not this person in your life whatsoever anymore. And today's going to be a rough one. I can already tell. I have lots of water here. And part of me was really debating on whether or not I was going to wait and do this later. But I think it's good to know, number one, it's okay to feel your feelings. It's okay to feel your emotions. And there are going to be waves of grief at different times of life, and nothing has gone wrong. So I may have to take a few breaks and pauses in order to get through this, at least the beginning part, the time of this recording. It's November 10th. And 2 months ago, tomorrow, is when my boyfriend was killed. And he was killed in a training accident. And it was sudden and unexpected. And we tried to break up. I say like we tried. It was like we both knew we had things we needed to work on, and there were things that he had to figure out and do in his life. But it was like this person that I just couldn't let go of. And so even though we had technically broken up, we still kept texting and talking. And then I went to go visit him. And so this was really hard, because I saw him Tuesday morning and we talked the following day on Wednesday afternoon, and he left me a voicemail Wednesday night, and then he was killed later that night. And it was so unexpected, and it brought up so much. It was like I had already processed through so much grief, but the fact that it had changed from a not now to never will we ever, I think was really hard. So not only are we coming up on the anniversary of his death, today would have been his birthday, Veterans Day weekend, and there's just all of these things accumulating. And it's also a Sunday, and Sundays were for Stella's in our book. We'd do Sundays at Stella's. That was our tradition. And so if he was here and it was his birthday, that's what we'd be doing. With the timing of everything, there's just this big wave of grief, lots of waves of grief today. And I haven't cried in at least a month. Like it was really hard that first week after he passed, extremely hard. I got the news on the way up to the airport. I was driving, I was heading to the airport, and I kept crying all the way up there. I was sobbing through the airport. I was crying on the plane. The flight attendants, both there and back, were bringing me my drink plus a stack of napkins because they would look at me and I just had tears running down my face just the whole time. I say that and share, it's okay to be a hot mess sometimes. We are not robots. We are human and we have these things called emotions and they're good and there's nothing wrong with it. And the challenge now is also dealing with the people who want to gaslight you and say, you need to pull it together. You need to hide it. You need to stuff it down. You should not be this emotional, especially in front of these people, whether it's at work or your kids. I've had comments from people in my circle, not many, but a couple, that were, you really need to keep it together in front of your son. And I was, you can go to hell. It's like my honest thought, like, piss off. So people are going to have their thoughts. And I also had a lot of love and a lot of comfort and a lot of support through this time too. But it was really hard. So just know that's okay. Grief is waves of the ocean. And I think I covered this in the last episode, but it's now I feel like it's been so long ago. I can't even remember. It's been like a week ago now, or no, a month. It's been like a month. But grief is going to be like a wave in the ocean. And we're going to get to the point where the waves stop coming in so fast, so hard, so furious. They stop coming in daily. We might still think about the person, but now we start to smile. We're grateful for the time that we had with them. We're grateful for our memories. And there's more of this like peace and acceptance. And maybe you stop crying. You stop having these kind of meltdowns. And if there's any sadness or grief, it's very low level. When a big wave comes and hits you after a couple weeks of not having anything, and you're in tears and a mess and so heartbroken and so devastated all over again, we can feel like we're moving backwards. We can feel like something's gone wrong, but nothing has gone wrong. This is normal. This is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I guarantee, even though I feel very emotionally messy today, I know tomorrow is going to be so much better. And even if I still cry tomorrow, and even if I still have my moments tomorrow, I know the day after that is going to be even better. And so this is part of the process, is knowing that there might be some days, there might be some weeks without tears, without the heartache, without the deep sorrow and sadness. And then we're going to have days with it, and we're going to have weeks with it. And we don't have to make that a problem. We just want to keep doing the same process and the same approach. And the first thing is to allow all of your emotions, not make them bad, not make them wrong, but just allow them. And notice where you feel it in your body. Notice what it feels like. And just allow it to flow through you. Because the problem is when we try to resist it, we try to fight it, we try to bottle it up, we try to stuff it down. And there may be times where we have to save it for later. So I'm about to go teach body pump. I have like 30 minutes before I'm going to go do that. So I have to turn this off so I can turn the body pump Jillian on. I can turn instructor Jillian on, and she's going to lead an amazing class today. She's not going to be crying, but she can come back home and she can keep crying if she wants to. Like, that's allowed. But I also know that sometimes I'm going to have to compartmentalize. Just like when there was a breakup, I remember coming back in, crying, like sobbing on the floor for an hour, and then getting on a client call and deciding this right here, this next hour is about her and it's about what she needs. And it's about me being able to support and encourage her through whatever she is going through right now. And I'm going to put my needs to the side and I can come back and I can keep crying after. And that's exactly what I did. So we just allow, and we allow our body to do whatever it needs to. And crying, I used to try to fight tears so hard, but crying is really how your body is trying to regulate your nervous system. Tears help you to calm your body, to take you out of the fight or flight and into a state of rest and digest, into that state of calm. Tears help you to process. They help you to process emotions, and it helps your body re-regulate itself. So tears are really helpful. And I know there can be a lot of stigma and a lot of don't be a baby, don't be a girl. If you're, especially when it comes to men and crying, I think there's a lot of judgment and shame and boys don't cry and get it together. And depending on how you grew up, you may have had more or less of that. There's a lot of condescending remarks around sad emotions and crying, whether you are male or female. But I think men probably get it worse. And then women in especially male-dominated fields where they're not supposed to cry, they shouldn't cry. Don't be a sissy. What are you on your period? There's a lot of condescending and demeaning remarks about emotions, especially sad emotions and tears, which for anybody is hard, right? And so we want to be able to give ourselves the gift of being able to allow anything and to process through it. We want to start to notice, what am I feeling? And then we want to normalize it. So we want to notice, what is the emotion that's coming up for you? And just name them all and normalize all of them. We want to notice what physically is happening in your body, whether there's tightness, maybe there's fluttering in your stomach, maybe it feels like churning, maybe you get tension in your chest, maybe in your head. We want to notice what's happening, and then we normalize it. And drink a lot of water, especially if you're crying. Like, I remember back when I first found out, there were a lot of tears, and I swear I was dehydrated just from crying so much. A dehydration headache that night, it felt terrible. But I knew I just needed to keep drinking water. And we'll get to some self-care stuff here in just a second, but notice what your body is doing. Normalize it. Like, this is normal. This is all allowed. And that's the first part. We don't have to move on. The next step is to look at, and this is where I often talk about changing the story, changing thoughts, even being able to shift into other emotions and getting to a place of neutral, but we don't have to get there. And this is the big part, right? Just to normalize the emotions, normalize the waves, the bursts, just all of it, and allow your body to process through as it needs to. We don't need to change anything. We don't need to shift it. From there, we want to start to notice and normalize all of your thoughts. So we want to normalize the emotions, what your nervous system is doing, how you're feeling, everything that's coming up. But now we want to start to normalize the thoughts. So we need to notice things like fear, right? Things like, life is never going to look the same. I'll never be loved again the same way. I've lost the most important person in my life, or something to that effect. We want to notice, what are all the stories coming up now? Are you wrestling with reality? Are you saying things like, it shouldn't be this way? It wasn't supposed to happen like this. And I think this can often come with any kind of survivor's guilt, where we feel like, well, if I was there, I could have stopped it. I could have saved this person. This wouldn't have happened. And we can feel responsible for what was going on and feel like we need to fix it, feel like we should have been there. Now we feel really guilty, and it makes it really hard to move forward. And so we really want to be able to release the guilt, the shame, the regret, all of the responsibility, but we first have to feel it. We just have to notice it. We don't need to try to change it. It's all just that awareness of, here's what I'm feeling and here's why. So the awareness piece is really important, but the letting go piece becomes even more so when you're ready. I think about it as stages of acceptance. So there's a process that I teach called stages of change. Stages of acceptance is very similar. We're just going to look at it a slightly different way. You are never going to ever stop missing somebody 100%, most likely. Even my grandmother, who passed away 15-ish years ago, I'm not going to ever stop missing her. There will still be times where I'm going to miss her, where something's going to remind me of her, where I'm going to think of her. I'm going to see a picture, and I'll wish that she was there. I'll wish that I could talk to her on the phone. That's okay. But I'm at a point now where there's so much peace and acceptance with what happened and when and just all of the things, to where I look back with fond memories. I look back and I smile. There's this, I wish she was here aspect, but I'm really at peace with it. And it didn't take me 15 years to get there. I think that's important. Like, sometimes time does help us to process through the emotions, but time alone is not going to change anything. this is where we really want to be aware of what's the story we're telling ourselves. So what happens is, I would say it's all going to be emotion. In the beginning, it's 100% emotion. Just allow it, feel it. We don't need to try to change anything. We don't need to try to be grateful. We don't need to do anything but just be in what is there. And then we're going to shift into 95% emotions, pain, heartache, agony, suffering, loss, grief. And 5% is going to be, and I'm so grateful for the time that I had with them. And I'm so glad that I got to be a part of their life for however long. And I'm so glad I had this many years with them or this many decades. It's shifting now ever so slightly into just a little bit of gratitude, into a little bit of neutral, a little bit of acceptance. It doesn't have to be a lot. So if you imagine, it's like holding on to 80 strands of yarn, and each strand is like a negative emotion. It's guilt and shame and regret and self-loathing and loss and grief and all the things. So we've got this giant rope that we're holding on to, and we're going to slowly put one strand of the negative emotion down, and we're going to pick up one strand of peace. Then we drop another strand of the negative emotion, then we pick up a second strand. Maybe this one's gratitude. Then we put down one other negative emotion, and we pick up one that's more acceptance. We put down one and we pick up a new one that's love. I recognize that this hurts big because I loved big. I'm so grateful that I got to experience the love that I had with this person or the time that I had with them. We're still going to have the majority of these negative emotions and negative thoughts and these stories, and we're going to slowly start to swap them out one by one for new stories, new beliefs, more peace, more acceptance. We're never just going to drop the rope of all of the grief, pain, suffering, agony, and pick up this giant rope as if it's like this big kind of epiphany, right? Of just, it just magically instantaneously happens. It's slow. It's gradual. It doesn't even have to be like one per day. You might find that there's one per week at sometimes. Maybe it is one per day or a couple per day, but there's no right or wrong pace here. But we're going to move slowly from 95-5, where 95% is pain and heartache and longing and agony, and 5% is love and gratitude, peace, acceptance, some of these other emotions. We're going to keep going down to where it's going to get 90-10, and then it's going to be 80-20, then it's going to be 70-30, and we're going to get to the point where it flips, where now it's, we move through the 50-50 and into now it's 40% pain and suffering, but now 60% good times, and that we're thinking about. And we're going to be constantly moving down until we get to the 5-95, where there's still 5% sadness, sorrow, loss, grief, heartache, longing, maybe betrayal, all kinds of things that still may come up in that 5%, but 95% is, and I know they're in a better place. And I have so much peace that this is God's will. And I'm so grateful for the time that I had. And I'm so grateful that we were able to prolong their life by X many months or years or whatever else. It's really how we want to tell that story. That's how we move through grief. It's allowing yourself to be in it and just in the pit with all the emotions and all the thoughts in the beginning, but starting to just notice what's happening. Notice and normalize. We don't change anything yet. And then slowly we start to add in, and I'm also so grateful. And I also feel this. And I'm glad that I got to love them. I'm glad that they got to love me. It's bringing in these little nuggets of truth. We're not trying to sugarcoat it. We're just bringing in a little bit. And again, knowing that just like with the waves of the ocean, we're going to move through these stages and nothing has gone wrong. If you get to where you might be at a point where you're in the 20-80, where 80% of the time there's like peace and acceptance, but there's still 20% that's heartbreak and agony and longing and sorrow and rejection and pain and tears and crying and all of those things. Nothing has gone wrong. You have not gone backwards. You are on the path because there are still going to be moments of processing. So just because tears come up, just because you can be good for a couple of days or even a couple of weeks and then you cry again, doesn't mean you're moving backwards. It doesn't mean that you're not healing. It doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong. This is what's supposed to happen. And I can look back over the past couple of months and see how the first week of grief was really intense to the point where I could hardly stop crying. Like, it wasn't just I cried every day. It was like hard to stop crying at times. I went to a football game, like a professional sports event, and so many things triggered me. I was like choking back and fighting back tears the entire day, just trying to keep it together. And part of the challenge, and one of the things, is giving yourself time to let the tears out. I think that morning I had gone on a walk with my nephew, and the walks in the morning were the time when I could just cry, and I could ugly cry as I walked on this walking pad. And then when I walked with him, it wasn't time for me to do that. When he asked to go on the walk with me, I was a little hesitant because I was also thinking, this is my time to cry, bud. But I don't get a lot of these opportunities. So I said, yes, absolutely, come on a walk with me. I liked that that happened, but it did also mean that because I didn't give myself a certain time frame to be able to cry that day, it was like bursting at the seams the entire day. And so then it got easier. And then it was like it slowly started to fade and to dissipate. And then as I was driving his truck out to Texas, I had more waves of grief. As I was drafting out this podcast episode and drafting out what I was going to say, there were tears that came up. And there's heartache and sadness. And it doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong, because I am in the process of healing. And this is what it looks like. There are a lot of really good days. And then there are days with grief, days with sadness, days with heartache. And then I was good for a couple, like maybe 2 weeks. So as I was recording this on Sunday, you could probably hear in the beginning of this episode, I was getting really choked up to the point where I kept stopping and then restarting and stopping and restarting. One of the times when I restarted, the audio quality went out again. And so I'm like, okay, re-recording this again. Because I believe so firmly that this is an important message that needs to get out, that there are so many people grieving and going through such hard things and the loss of life in particular, that I want to create this. And I just feel like there have been like all kinds of little roadblocks and obstacles, and I'm still doing it anyways. I don't care if it takes me 10 times trying to record this. This is getting out there. But now there were tears Sunday. There were tears even Monday morning. I was getting choked up, I noticed. And it's not making yourself wrong for any of it. And just knowing that's how it's going to work. And I'm going to keep moving through this process. I'm at peace. I'm at acceptance with what happened. I'm not arguing with reality, but there is still going to be sorrow. There's still going to be pain. There's still going to be hurt. And that is normal. Don't fight it. This is often what can come up. And this can come up with divorce and with breakups and things, which I'll talk about in the next episode, because there's some slight differences when it comes to the loss of life versus initiating a divorce or somebody initiating a divorce with you, some other little nuances that I want to dive into. But this is still all the process. And so even though I'm at peace and acceptance with what happened, even though I don't have all the details, even though I don't fully understand what happened or why, or I probably will never know the truth, and making peace with that can feel hard because our brains like answers. They want information. It wants to know things. And so now that I'm at that level of I accept what happened, I'm at peace with that, there will still be waves of grief that come. There are still going to be waves of emotion that come. And just like on Sunday, where I didn't know exactly what I was feeling, I don't have to. I don't always have to know exactly what I'm feeling. I can know that it just needs to process. It just needs to flow through me. And that's it. That's all I have to know, is I'm just going to let it be here. I'm going to let it sit here, and I'm going to be here with myself and these emotions as long as it needs. And it was also a little interesting that then Monday morning, I still had tears when I was going to get coffee and going for my walk. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong. We need to stop judging ourselves and just allow the emotion to be there and allow it to flow through us. This is how we move forward. It's when we fight it, when we resist it, that it becomes this big, overwhelming thing that now we're terrified of, but we've made it such a problem. We've stuffed down the emotion so much that it feels so big and so overwhelming. So we want to be really careful of that. That can be one of the pitfalls here, is when we are not giving ourselves, or we feel like maybe we'll be judged, so we shouldn't be feeling this. But when we fight it, when we resist, when we avoid, that's when we create bigger, harder, worse emotions. We create like this gross, stabby, infected pain versus the clean pain of a loss and the grief. So that is one area where we can get stuck. Another one where I see is really with the guilt. is not letting yourself move past the guilt and feeling responsible. And that's where it's like the pain is what connects you to that person. And so it's if you let go of the pain, if you let go of the suffering, if you let go of the heartache, then you're letting go of them. Because in your mind, the pain is the only thing that connects you. And really, this is where we have to play with picking up those other strands. We slowly let go some of these single individual strands. You can still hold on to the big pain, but we have to start to slowly let go of those little ones and slowly pick up the little strands of gratitude. That way, when you hear their name, when you smell a scent that reminds you of them, when you go to your favorite restaurant, when there's an inside joke, when there's a movie, when there's a scene, when you get triggered, when something reminds you of them, you don't go immediately into despair and sorrow and heartache. You switch and you're more in like nostalgia. You have love. You have gratitude for the time that you had. You're so grateful that you got to spend so many days, weeks, years with this person, even if it seems like it was cut short. That is one of the other sticking points is we hold on to the pain and we get wrapped up and caught up in the pain and we never move beyond it because that's what feels like is connecting us to them. And we have to remember that the good memories, the good times can connect you to them too. But it's a choice. It is a conscious choice to decide, I'm letting go of this and I'm going to choose to feel this instead. And this came up for me a little bit in a breakup situation as well, where I felt very responsible for the breakup. There came a point where I was like, okay, I am done feeling regret. I'm done feeling shame. I'm done self-loathing. It had been like 2 weeks and every day there was just so much regret. I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that. I ruined one of the best things that happened to me, like just all of this drama in my head. And there came a point where I was like, okay, I can miss him. I can be sad. I can cry. But I am no longer going to beat myself up. And that's part of it is I can miss this person, but I'm no longer going to beat myself up for not being there in the moment. I'm no longer going to act like I could have controlled this situation in some way. That's progress. That is a healthy way of moving through this. But when we get stuck in the pain and when you only allow the pain to connect you to that person, you trap yourself and you get stuck in grief. You get stuck in the sorrow instead of being able to move through it and be so proud and so grateful of what you got to experience with this person. And then just learning really to take care of yourself. Eat healthy foods, sleep, give yourself and your body sleep and water. Get a massage or do things nice for yourself that you enjoy. Go for a hike, maybe take a little vacation. Maybe you want to share memories with somebody or you want to swap stories or you want to look at photos. And really, it's give yourself the permission to feel it all, to allow all of that and to know and to experiment with when it's important to get out and to be around other people and when it's also okay just to be by yourself and to know that there's no urgency, there's no pressure one way or the other. You get to grieve in a way that feels right for you. My goal is to help people to grieve better, to really truly process through the emotions so that they come out of it, the other side feeling more resilient, feeling stronger, feeling encouraged, deciding that if they're still alive, there is meaning and purpose to their life. What are they going to do with it? How are they going to make this world better? We are given this opportunity, this one precious life. What are you doing with it? And this is the type of work that I do with clients. I help them identify what they're feeling, the stories that they're telling themselves about emotions, about situations, and how to move through it, how to really allow the emotions, how to process through and come out the other side stronger, how to navigate any of the emotions and not turn to food, not turn to alcohol, not turn to some other way of buffering, of just trying to avoid and distract yourself from what you're really feeling. That's always the biggest thing. The more that we can allow the emotions without judgment, without shame, right? Because sometimes it's coming from ourselves. I would say a lot of times it's coming from ourselves, but also not letting the judgment of other people impact you and not feeling like it has to look a certain way. And again, I think grief is just, it's such a complex emotion, something that people feel in so many different ways. It looks so different for different people. And this is something that I don't feel like we talk about enough of. And we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to process. We just feel like we're this hot mess and this ball of emotions and we're going to burst at any moment. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy to keep stuffing this down. It's not healthy to just try to sugarcoat it and not feel bad. We really need to give ourselves the space and allow it to look like whatever it needs to. And I promise, the more you allow these emotions, the faster you move through them, the more it propels you forward so that you can go on to create amazing things with your life. Because that's ultimately what we want to do. We want to use this life for something meaningful, for something good. If you want to work on healthy habits, if you want to work on being more consistent, if you want to work on your mindset and your emotional awareness and not buffering, but really allowing the feelings so that way you're not turning to food, you're not turning to alcohol, then let's chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. Because this is hard stuff. Life has its challenges and different aspects, different situations are going to be more challenging than others. And there's nothing wrong with having a coach and somebody to help guide you through it, to show you your brain, to show you a way forward, to where you're not alone and you feel confident moving forward. And that when the time is right, now pursuing those goals. But we have to first sit with and be just right where we're at. If you want some help, let's chat, schedule a call. And for the next episode, we're going to dive into grief when it comes to divorce and breakups and the heartache. And a lot, I think one of the big things is rejection that comes up and abandonment. So we're going to talk about some of the other kind of key emotions and the core wounds that get triggered and activated that make it feel even worse. I know, lots of fun stuff happening around here. But I promise we're going to wrap up this 3-part series on grief because there is a lot to it. There's no right or wrong way. But if you want some help in just processing and navigating your own emotions, your divorce, your loss, your breakup, I can help. All right, y'all. Here's to creating the life and body you crave. Everything that I said to make the world brand new, take the time for you. We just got lost and slept right through the dawn, and the world spins round. Still, the whole world is moving, and I'm standing still.